Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, June 10th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a look at a call for a nurses' strike and one school district where students have a big voice. Minnesota House Speaker Kurt Dowd is predicting that Donald Trump's presidential bid could help Republican legislative candidates this fall in the state's rural districts. Dowd speculated on Trump's potential down-ballot impact yesterday during an interview on Fargo radio station KFGO. He said the presumptive Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton is incredibly unpopular in rural Minnesota districts, many of which are held by Republicans.
We think with the seats that we're defending, we think that Donald Trump actually helps us on the ballot to retain our majority. And I don't know, my gut tells me that he's got room to move and room to grow in his numbers to grow support. And I don't know that Hillary Clinton does.
Dowd has not publicly endorsed Trump, but state DFL Chairman Ken Martin criticized Dowd in a news release for his apparent acceptance and support of Trump. Governor Mark Dayton was in Moorhead and Worthington yesterday, highlighting the need for a special legislative session to pass a tax bill and a bonding bill. Tim Pugmire reports.
Dayton is pushing for the priority provisions he wants added to those bills, including money for higher education, state security, hospital staffing, and metro area transit. In Worthington, Dayton spoke in support of the $11.5 million in state funding needed to complete the Lewis and Clark Water Project. He also sounded optimistic about reaching an agreement with House and Senate leaders.
We have our honest differences, but you know, I've said I will compromise and meet halfway. And if others can do that with me, then we'll get this concluded in the next couple weeks and go on with the summer.
Dayton will continue his tour Friday in Duluth and St. Cloud. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Nearly 5,000 Allina Health nurses announced plans for a one-week strike beginning a week from Sunday. A walkout would hit Abbott Northwestern, United, Unity, and Mercy Hospitals and Phillips Eye Institute. As Mark Zedeklik reports, the labor dispute centers on health benefits.
The Minnesota Nurses Association strike notice came just 2 days after rank-and-file nurses authorized their leaders to call a walkout. Many observers were expecting at least one more round of talks before the union scheduled a strike. Nurse Bernadine Ingeldorf, a member of the negotiating team, says Allina has not been negotiating in good faith.
Why go directly to the strike in hopes that they'll come back to the table? You know, I've been bargaining with employers for many years, at least 16, and I've never seen a negotiating team so adamant to take workers' benefits away.
Ingeldorf says the union wants Allina to know its demand to phase out a generous nurse-only health plan is categorically unacceptable.
We're very disappointed that the union has chosen to go this route.
That's Allina spokesman David Canahan. Canahan says he's hopeful the hospital system can still negotiate an agreement and avoid a strike. But Canahan says Allina will not budge from its position that the nurse-only health plans are unaffordable and have to go.
That is an imperative for us. We are very open to talking about what that looks like and how specifically the transition occurs. But to have a meaningful dialogue about that is something we're insisting on as part of these negotiations.
Allina says the nurse-only plans cost more than they should, both for the company and the nurses themselves. The union maintains the company's proposal would shift $10 million in health spending from the company to the nurses. Nurse negotiator Bernadine Ingeldorf says Allina has not given the union enough information about why it wants to move the nurses out of their own plan or how it could affect them. Ingeldorf said this when asked whether the nurses would even consider a transition.
With the information we have, I don't know that I can answer that.
University of Minnesota Labor Relations Professor John Budd says the way the dispute is playing out is not promising.
It certainly wouldn't surprise me if there's a strike at this point.
Budd says he's surprised that the union called the strike so soon after the authorization vote and before a last-ditch negotiating session. He's also taken note of the workers' decision to call a 7-day walkout. The last nurses' strike in the Twin Cities in 2010 was just 1 day. Budd says he's equally surprised Allina is publicly insisting that the health insurance transition has to be part of any new contract. He says Allina could have encouraged a resumption of talks without reiterating that demand. He says the militancy on both sides is noteworthy.
I think it might reflect just how far apart the parties seem to be. Maybe it reflects a calculation on the union side that management hasn't budged, and so we really need to ramp up the pressure.
Union leaders say the nurses have been preparing for a strike for a long time and look forward to support from fellow union nurses at five other Twin Cities hospital systems without contract disputes. Nurse Angela Bacchetti says she and her colleagues are ready for a walkout.
We're upset that we have to do this, but we feel it's the next step.
Allina's David Canahan says the company has been preparing as well. He says even if there is a strike, Allina facilities will be operating with replacement nurses come Sunday morning.
Our message to everyone is that our hospitals will be open and caring for patients in the event of a strike, no matter what the duration of that strike. We are well prepared.
Canahan says Allina Health has not yet seen a drop-off in business or patients canceling procedures because of strike concerns. He says Allina has not yet considered whether to postpone some procedures during the strike. Covering health, I'm Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
St. Paul students wrap up their school year this week. For some district schools, this year has been a difficult one with fights and incidents of student violence against teachers. Amid the turmoil, one St. Paul principal has a plan to give up control and improve school culture by putting the students in charge. Solveig Wastvedt reports.
The last weeks of senior year might be tune-out time for some students, but it was anything but for 20-some seniors at Johnson High School who gathered recently in a classroom to talk strategy. Perched on desks and huddled around laptops, they were planning lessons and games for Johnson's new 15-minute daily advisory classes.
Yeah. It's going to be the game where you sit back-to-back, two people, and then you get up without using
Johnson
your
added the advisories this year as part of an effort to shift some control at the school to students. 300 or so Johnson upperclassmen team up to teach the classes, and these seniors plan content and logistics.
So, since most of us are juniors and seniors and we're going to be at prom on Friday,
the classes include team-building activities and more serious fare, like behavior lessons and homework help. Senior Viva Lee says she's even helped her peers resolve an argument.
Out of class and out of school, they would get pretty into it and they would argue and stuff. So we just take a step back and like, remember, we're a community and we're a whole and we have to work together to solve our problems.
Arguments like that can easily spiral into the discipline problems that have troubled schools in St. Paul and elsewhere this year. But Johnson Principal Michael Thompson says when students get more control at school, they also take on more responsibility for creating a calm environment. Students now serve on Johnson's hiring committees and recently helped craft a change in school grading policy. Every St. Paul school has its own approach to leadership. Some pair freshmen with upperclassmen mentors or have students lead assemblies. But the district says no other schools use Johnson's advisory model. It's one of a number of new strategies in St. Paul. Johnson and five other schools will also pilot restorative justice programs next year, and the new teachers' contract calls for increased support staff at district schools. Life at Johnson is not perfect under the new model. The school had fights this year, and in one incident in March, a student hit a teacher. But Thompson says he's seen small discipline improvements. Senior Brittany Roberts agrees.
I'm not going to say everybody gets along, because not everybody's going to be best friends, but it's a way like seniors get to interact with underclassmen, and underclassmen can trust seniors, and it gets better.
Thompson hopes for more change with time.
We don't have any illusions of, like I said before, about reaching 100% of the students with this, but we got to get to a critical mass so that the expectations of the building are set by the students in the building and not simply imposed by the adults.
Rob Horner leads a National Resource Center for Behavior funded by the Federal Education Department. He says giving students more say gets them working on the same team with adults.
They're looking for exactly what we as adults keep saying we want from them, but they don't want to just be told this is the way you do it. They want to be encouraged to be part of the solution.
Thompson says while he works on that culture change, he's seeing other encouraging signs. He says rates of freshmen on Johnson's honor roll hit a 15-year high this year. And he notes freshman year success is key to boosting graduation rates. In the last weeks of her senior year, Sade Allison said her new responsibilities changed her attitude toward younger peers.
For me, I was like, the upperclassmen didn't help us. Why we gotta help them? But I'm like, it's different. We gotta change. So I'm like, I'm more willing.
Next year, Thompson says Johnson upperclassmen will meet freshmen at the school door on day one and supervise orientation to show the new students how it's done at Johnson. Covering education, I'm Solveig Wastvedt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.